Freelance Mum, the mother of all networking. Come and join our awesome online and offline community, which supports all your business needs, including child-friendly networks across the UK, plus our weekly online coffee morning. I'm Faye Dicker, voiceover artist and founder of Freelance Mum, and here's this week's podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Freelance Mum podcast. It's an absolute joy to be hosting a very special mini-series in the run-up to International Women's Day. And International Women's Day has some brilliant themes this year, along the themes of inclusion and inspire. And I've been absolutely delighted to secure a wonderful interview with Nadine Campbell. She's an incredible woman. She does so much to champion diversity. She's an entrepreneur. She's a mother. She's multi-award winning. And it's a joy to have on the Freelance Mum podcast today. Nadine, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. That's such a nice introduction. I appreciate you, Faye, always.
Well, it's so true. You cheerlead for so many as well, Nadine. You really are spearheading the way for so many in all that you do. And our paths first crossed a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, we did. We were fortunate enough to meet at the IPSI Awards, Freelancer and Self-Employed Awards. And that was the beginning of our journey together, which I love.
Yeah. And the thing that I love is that both of us are championing communities as well as being freelancers as well. So it's very distinct hats and very distinct causes. And that can bring lots of challenges along the way, can't it?
It can, because one needs the other.
Yes.
You know, at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, the freelance work helps us to do the work that we do around inclusion and the groups that we want to support. So I love that we've got these two hats that we wear amongst all the other hats, Faye, right? As mothers, friends, family members.
Yeah, all of them. So, yeah. And it is, and it's being purpose driven. That's just it. It's being purpose driven and somehow getting that balance. So Nadine, for those of you, for people listening who are new to your story, new to your journey, just give us a little recap then. How did you start in business? How did you start as a freelancer yourself before you began supporting so many and growing your own community?
Right. Well, I've been in business for a while. I won't go too far back, but I will I'll talk about that point, because for the first sort of portion of my career, I was working permanently. And I think that's a great way to cut your teeth in terms of your career, like to really get into those established organizations, see how they do it, learn outside of theory, and actually start doing marketing. So I did that for the first 6 years, and then I wanted to start my own business. The main reasons really were because I wanted more variety. So I'm a marketeer by trade. I've done that for 20 years. In the first 6 years, I was a permanent member of a couple of different agencies. And what you find is you get clients and you have those, they are your clients, and then you stick with them for years and years. And that's great because you get to build a relationship, you get to grow with them and grow them. But I got to a point where I really wanted variety, and I was actually forced to my hand because it was the recession. So I just bought my first property. And literally within a month, a load of us were being made redundant, and I was within that because it just goes along with the clients that you hold. So I was being made redundant. I didn't know what to do. I'd already been thinking about starting my business for a couple of years. And I don't know if you had this experience, but depending on who you ask, they'll all tell you not to do it. And I still was in my mind, I'm going to do this. So the recession actually just forced my hand and made me do it. And I had a great friend that I'd met in the UK who was based in the US. And he said, come over, come and do some consultation work. Come and see how you like it. Because at that point, I was thinking about moving to New York to work there as a freelancer or as a consultant. Went there, had a great time. Wasn't quite ready to make the big move. Remember, I just bought a house. But I came back and I decided now's my time, because I traveled around a bit. I'd been to Netherlands. I saw that this work-life balance could be achieved with freelancing. And I decided I'm just going to go for it. And so through networking, I secured clients. My first client I actually secured at a wedding reception when we were just chatting about they needed someone. And I was like, well, I can do that. And, you know, you've got to just be bold and put your hand up and say you can do it, and then sort of figure it out when you get there. So that was the beginning of my journey. And, you know, here we are 13 years later, still doing freelancing, which is exciting.
Do you know, it's really funny, Nadine, because as you were talking, I was remembering, because you spoke at our Brave, Bold and Bonkers event last year on International Women's Day, and you shared a wonderful story about being bold and about being in a bagel shop in New York, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It's a brilliant story. Please do share it again, because your words will be far better than mine.
So I don't know if you've been to New York. Like, New York and London, they often say are similar, okay? But when I went to New York, I went there as a solo traveler. I'd done a lot of solo traveling and I was meeting friends there and stuff. So when I got there, they were like, oh, there's a deli across the road. You can go, you can get your stuff. And you think that New York and London are the same. So you go in there, you do the British thing, you stand in a queue, you queue up for your food. And then what I just saw was basically people were just walking in front of me, walking past me, shouting their order. And I'm obviously in a new town, so I'm thinking, what's going on? And then some guy behind me just basically says, I was going to do an American accent. I probably shouldn't. Like, just say what you want. Say what you want to get. Just shout it out. And then, so that was the way that we had to operate over there. If you wanted something, and if you wanted to get to the front, metaphorically, you had to shout out what you wanted and go for it. And I think that was something I really learned that was very different. It's almost like London supercharged is New York. It's fast paced. You got to really say what you want and go for what you want to get it. And I took that back with me into London. And that's how I really began a long journey, having some great clients and great experiences in business.
And, you know, that story has given me goose pimples all over again, even though I knew the ending. I just think it's such a great thing, you know, like, just say what you want, just go for it. You've got to say what you want and you're going to get it. And it's just an excellent piece of advice to apply to all aspects of life.
I think so. And I think as women, and even just last week I was saying, we're apologetic women sometimes, you know? Mm. And then ladder on that, we're British too. There's a level of waiting till my turn, making sure I'm very polite about what I want. Yeah. But I do think, you know, having lots of male mentors, the advice they've given me is quite similar. Just go for what you want. Mm-hmm. And you're more than likely to get very, very close to what you've asked for. But more than what you would have done if you kept in your sort of apologetic stance,
overly humble. And it's also very interesting, I think, that sometimes there's almost a tendency to apologize for being a mother, you know, like, oh, I feel like I have to, not necessarily literally, but it's like it's an apology. Oh, I'm sorry, I have to do the score. And oh, I'm sorry, you might not say that out loud, but I think sometimes that once you put motherhood into the mix, it's like you have to apologize. Oh, I'm only part-time. Oh, I'm only available these hours. I'm only available to between. And it's like, no, stop all the I'm only and all the apologizing. It doesn't make you any less a professional because you're a mother. In fact, it probably makes you all the more professional because you've made a bigger commitment to your cause.
I love that. I love that. And it's so true. And mothers will understand. We could apologize 15 times before we even get to work.
Yes,
you know. Yeah. Sorry to your son for trying to drag you up the path to get to school on time. Sorry for me. Yeah, we don't need to do that. And you mentioned my article because there are some really small changes we can make in terms of this apologetic way of living in order to just accommodate mothers. We are holding up and bringing up the people of tomorrow. So really what we're doing is prioritizing, ensuring that they're getting what they need and then putting our next hat on when we get into work and giving our workplace or our business what they need. And as we know, when we clock off at 5:36, that mum hat goes back on. So really we shouldn't apologize because we're doing amazing. Mm. We just need to give ourselves some grace, but it's hard when you're in the thick of it to do that, right?
Absolutely. And it's all those extra layers of negotiations, as you say, and the piece that you wrote and shared, it just stopped me in my tracks, Nadine, because I thought you've just nailed it. You know, mothers and working, we're dealing with some very different things and we need a more supportive place. The world, sadly, I mean, being a mum isn't a new thing. Being a mum and a mum in business isn't a new thing. It's not like it only just popped up in 2020. And yet I feel as though the world still hasn't quite caught up. I mean, on that stance, what would you like to see to make, you know, we're in the run up to International Women's Day. We shouldn't have to have this day, but what do you think we need to make the world more supportive and more inclusive, specifically for mothers in business?
Great question. Something I feel very passionate about. I really do believe there's very small changes that are required to make people feel that they belong. And it starts with very simple things like meeting scheduling. Okay. Mm. And it might sound like a tiny thing, but really us mothers are rushing to get to whatever time that you've put in. And usually the workplace or business, if you're not running it yourself, knows you've got to accommodate for that. Okay. And yes, we can get in early, but that means our child is now in wraparound care for like, you know, 6-7 hours. That's a very long time for a child. So just even starting the meetings at 10 instead of 9, that's a revolution. That's a revolution for most moms. Because now, instead of back-to-back sort of stressing, now you're getting into work in a mind frame that you're ready to deliver, right? And you've had enough space between shuffling from mum to business person, right, in order to deliver your best work. And that's something I actively ask for, and I do think we need to proactively ask for it. And any of the roles and clients that I work with, I definitely do say I'm a mother. That comes up in the first conversation, because I want you to understand that that's going to be my working hours. And it's not an apologetic thing. It's that is my hours. I can't do anything else. And that's it. You know, and I think we have to be strong about enforcing that. So definitely number one, I think, is just scheduling a little bit. The one that comes a little bit easier is everybody has a half term, right, in terms of parents, mums and dads. That's a kind of easier one for people to understand. If you schedule something in half term, you're going to have half the people missing. And that's from top to tail, suppliers, clients, you yourself, assistants, everybody that has a child or is surrounded by family will have a problem around that area. So that's an easier one we can do. So we bundle the two together, and now we've got some easier scheduling, right? I talked last week about the benefits. As a mother, I'd love to go for a, you know, drink of an evening on Thursday evening, or a meal in an evening, or just to do something fun towards entertainment with my team. But when I think about, is that something that I really feel like is a benefit for me to take a role or to work with a client? It's really not. It's about flexibility. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the benefit that I want the most. So if I'm working with a client or a supplier or anybody in the workplace, and they know they need to accommodate something that is fixed, parents' evenings, particular school, sports days, trips, being able to work from home if my child is unwell or I need to be close to the school. I think that kind of flexibility is really important. And sometimes it can be seen as scheduled days that you can take off, but really what we need is that ad hoc flexibility to be able to be set up and ready to work from home, right? So what do you think about those couple of initial ones?
I think it's absolutely genius, Nadine. I really do. And I think actually the fact that you've prefixed the word flexibility with the word ad hoc flexibility is key, because it's no good saying, okay, every Friday you work from home, or okay, you don't work every Friday, because that's then rigid. That's not, you people think they're being flexible because they've said, have this day to do this thing, but life doesn't always fall like that. Sports day might not be Friday. It doesn't accommodate actually the joy and the beauty of being freelance and being a parent. Should be that complete fluidity, and not that we think that we've got it by telling you that we're going to work in this way. And that isn't it.
Yeah, and I do think businesses are really trying. I think it's a evolution that we need to see, and we need to help to direct that where to go. A lot of benefits don't benefit people that are in the sandwich years, as it's called, right? Mm-hmm. That have elderly parents and young children. So we kind of end up being in the middle, and none of the benefits really benefit us, because the nursery years are gone, right? Yeah. So we don't need childcare vouchers and all that. Our freedom years are somewhat in the distance, you know, when we can get time, we'll do that. But sort of those entertainment nights out, drinking things are great, but probably again, can't do those. So we need to be able to find something that's in the middle. And is it that we have more support from other parents? Is it that we come into a parent group at work and now we can all understand and make sure that as a collective, we're all saying, let's schedule this meeting here, or let's make sure we accommodate this or that, or have we thought about, you know, mums and those kind of things come up, I think, when you have people to support you and back you. So to me, that seemed like a great benefit. And if I go into work with a client that thinks like that and has flexibility, that's a winner for me. So I think it's just tailoring all of your benefits to whoever is working with you. And obviously, if you're a younger parent, you might still be doing some of those things. So being, I think, bespoke as well, it would be great to see.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming. I think we need to tell people what we want and see if we can get those things right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Nadine. It's about that constant education, that constant empowering, like just constantly just getting the message. And I think also we have to remember that as freelancers and small businesses, actually one of the joys of being a freelancer and a small business is that you get to make the decisions and you get to make them quickly. But if you're working, as we often are, with bigger corporates as well, they are bigger ships to steer, and it can take much longer for those wheels to get in motion. But you're right, so long as we keep emblazoning that message, hopefully it will make a difference, most definitely.
Yeah, I think we need to deliver it as opportunity versus a problem. I think the problem's known now. So now we need to turn it around, you know?
Yeah. So I want to go back a step now, Nadine. We know your journey now into freelancing. And I mean, like, you're a woman who clearly thrives in adversity, in fact. So you launched one business as a freelancer during a recession. Your next business came along during COVID-19.
I never realised that.
You clearly are, aren't you? You're like, world crisis, what's going on? You know, financial crisis, not a problem. Time to launch my next business.
Oh,
and that you're clearly a woman who, when there's a time of need, a time of adversity, you do not fail to rise to the occasion. And that's when you went on your, you know, my goodness me, you are doing so much for so many. Talk about how that happened during the pandemic for you.
That's an interesting insight, Faye, that you've pulled out, actually. That makes me feel kind of proud.
And rightly so. Yeah.
I didn't know, obviously, what was going to happen in 2020. And I had a wonderful client. It was a bit far away from my life. And I wanted to spend more time with my child. But I also, in my mind, I knew that solopreneurs were working in silos. I'd met a couple just before then, and I knew that together we were stronger, even just three of us in a WhatsApp group. And I wanted to pursue that. I wanted to see how much further we could go. And the more I delved into that, I found that there were hundreds of us that were working on our own in silos. And the beauty of having that break, even though that was a horrific time in the beginning of 2020 with COVID and George Floyd and just global unrest, it was also a time to bring people together. And in order to do those things that you'd always been wanting to do and had just put off. So I knew I wanted to start something. I'd been investigating it. I was researching to see if I could find a diverse owned business that was a national business, and I couldn't find it. So I decided to start something that would bring businesses together in the hope of growing brands, these, you know, people that had started their business and were having side hustles or trying to do two different jobs to actually focus on their business and grow their business, right? And I wanted to be able to help to do that. I spent a lot of time working with corporate companies, and I love that work, and I will continue to do that work. But I knew that there were some skills that I could give to others at this time when they were ripe. You know, they didn't have anything else to do except for to work on their business. And this was something that if we can gather people and steer them together, then collectively we rise. And I definitely believe in that. I believe that if we can all move up together, we can drive a better economy. We've got more money coming in. We don't have such a big cost of living crisis. There are answers to some of these questions. And like you mentioned, through bureaucracy, it takes a long time to move that tanker around. Mm-hmm. But as small owned businesses that want to grow, this is something that we can do fairly quickly. So with a bit of guidance and pulling other people in to help do that, we can actually start to grow. The most important thing, I think, is community. And you'll know that, Faye.
Yeah.
So it's about having like-minded people around you that understand what you're trying to do and what they're trying to do. And together, we're sort of like all leaning on each other in a line, right? In order to get to that goal that we're trying to achieve. And I think that's what I love to see the most. So in my initial one during the session was about getting more freedom for me and understanding how I could travel at the time and work as much as I wanted to. And then the second business was really about ensuring that I was no longer the only woman of colour in these rooms. I wanted to be with other women of colour. And I saw that when I was working with that client, and I wanted more of it. So I wanted to go and create that. And that's how Ace Entrepreneurs came to life.
That's amazing. And, you know, what a time to do it. During COVID, there were all these solopreneurs working on their own. And, you know, you're like, right, okay, we need to come together. And I, one of my members, she says, and I love it, you know, a freelance mum between us, we can do anything. And I think that's the same of any community. Between us, you can do anything. If someone's got an idea, you can definitely make it happen. You might not know how to write a, I don't know, a marketing strategy, but there'll be someone in your community that can. And that's what makes the strength of a community so very, very important. So you went from having this WhatsApp group of three people, which was sowing you some seeds there, to launching now a community. Ace Entrepreneurs, is that the correct name there?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me, what do you do? What is your purpose and your mission?
Great. And I love that you asked about the name, because it's kind of evolving and changing a little bit. So the purpose was to help diverse businesses launch and grow. And when we think of diversity, think of intersectionality, right? I'm a woman, I'm of color, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not pigeonholing just one thing as diverse. It's pigeonholing us as underrepresented, right? So that's the group I wanted to work with. And really what we had was fantastic ideas. But what we could do more of was more structure. And that was something I knew about because I've been in business for so long. So Ace Entrepreneurs is a community. We've just gone over 6,000 at the moment of allies and supporters. And we want to have our businesses more well known. We want to buy from each other and share our services. We want to access content, like you were saying earlier, how to do great social media strategy, how to write a business plan, one of my most popular services, and social media during lockdown. And then also it's about growing these businesses. Because there's great creatives out there. This is what I call the people that come up with all the fantastic ideas. And they are idea people. Mm. That is where they thrive, right? But then what we need to do is get those ideas out. And we need to structure them in a way that people understand how to present them, how to get people to engage, and then how to grow that business off the back of it. And that's where having collaborations really, really work. So that's Ace Entrepreneurs. But since then, I've evolved the business in the last couple of years. So, you know, I had the consultancy before. That was a separate business, but that's now wrapped into Ace, and we've become the Ace Group. So under Ace, we have Ace Entrepreneurs, which is the community, 400 active diverse businesses, 6,000 in the whole network. And that's really focused on growing and nurturing and getting all the way to investment, right? Because we match people up with angel investors. Again, with investment in this area being so low for the last 10 years, something has to be done in order to bring them together. And the calling cry was, I don't know who these businesses are. I can't find them. I don't know if they're, et cetera, et cetera. So we can do that. We can check and vet the businesses and ensure that they're fit for purpose. We have the diverse panel, which is empowering diverse voices through data. And having worked in corporate marketing for a long time, we can diversify the people we're speaking to. So the research and the end product is more encompassing of the whole customer base and not just some of the customer base, the ones that are easy to reach and easy to speak to. We actually need everyone, the tastemakers, the ones that are making it cool and the ones that are making it viral. Their voices need to be heard and compensated for. And then Pitch Black Ventures, which is something I've co-founded, again, that is to help get the investment off the ground. We need to get these businesses investment ready, and we need to make sure it's affordable and they can tailor it to what they need. Sometimes going on an accelerator, a whole accelerator, isn't possible. So you might just need the final touches to get your business off the ground. And then Ace Fest, something we're launching this year, which has been in the making for a while now. But as we get busy and as we build in our confidence, you know, we can't do these things immediately. We have to work up to them. So Ace Fest is when we're bringing everyone together, because Faye, as you know, like COVID in 2020 was very virtual. And now we're able to be in the physical world. We need to get together. We need to feel each other's energy. And that's where Ace Fest will be working on the business and finance fundamentals. So people like me are going to come in and give their skills and explain the need to know for growing your business. And then later on, we're going to be looking at design and digital and futures. And we'll be doing the same thing, but supercharging your business so that it's ready for the AI and all of that generation that's to come.
Yeah. Wow. Nadine, I love the sound of Ace Fest. And, you know, we started talking about Ace Entrepreneurs, and then we went into the Ace something else, wasn't it? And then we went to the Black...
Ace Group is the umbrella.
Yeah.
Underneath there.
Yeah. Ace Entrepreneurs. Then there was the pitching. Is that right?
We've got Pitch Black Ventures.
And then Ace Fest.
Ace Fest. And the ACE Consultancy is where I do all my freelance work.
Wow. Nadine, that is absolutely incredible. How do you sleep at night? Do you sleep at night? How does this all work? You must have an amazing team that you're working with to make all this happen. You are one woman. You are the head of a community of 4,000 people. You must have these infrastructures and systems in place to allow you to sleep at night, to allow you to be you, to allow you to be a mother. So how have you got those systems, and what is it that works for you?
I do too much, probably, Faye, if I'm being honest. All right. So I'm definitely working on that. So in terms of the team, I've had some rolling interns. So the first couple of years I had, I think, 5 interns, which is really wonderful. They came in, they learned, and then they went off, and I helped with them securing their roles, their next roles, which is really wonderful. Feeling. So that's how it began. And then as I needed more permanent people, so now we are a team of 3, social media, websites, and myself, and we're going to expand more this year. So we're looking to expand the team. In terms of the processes, tech will help you.
Yeah.
Right. So AI will help you. Obviously, you need to come up with the ideas initially. And then really what you're doing is bouncing them off to expand them further. So definitely use technology to help you do that. Use the networks. So very much engagement and getting the message out. There is LinkedIn and Instagram. We definitely use those. But then, you know, having your tech stack, as it were, I have got an unconventional tech stack because it's not as you would imagine and the way we talk about it in marketing. But instead, you know, you have your sales navigator in LinkedIn, and then you have your CRM system, and then you have your website where you do your invoicing and your emails and your connections. So I would say my tech stack is Canva, LinkedIn, sales navigator, Wix, and all the systems and marketing that comes behind that. And then Google Workplace as well. Google Workplace is really great. Easy to use, easy to connect to your website. Affordable, and it gives you email address and all the things that go behind it. So that's my tech stack for now. I imagine it's going to expand in the coming year.
That's amazing. And I like the fact that 3 seems to be a magic number in your life. You know, you had this little WhatsApp group of 3 when you were a solopreneur, but kind of felt that these seeds were growing. And now you've got this team of 3, which you are responsible for so many, but clearly you've got those systems in place. There was something else I wanted to pick up on as well, which I thought was a really interesting point that you made. And it's when you're talking about ideas, people, you want the ideas people to keep having ideas. And I'm sort of speaking and sharing my own journey now, really, as someone who is a creative and is an ideas person, and I've experienced a lot of growth in my business, but I didn't have the systems in place. So as a result, I've had to reverse engineer. Okay. I let my business grow organically, which is fantastic and fabulous. But then I was like, I have to find the framework to put on top to make these ideas now not be quite so scattergun.
Okay. You know?
And what I love is that you, as a marketeer, as a freelancer, you have identified there are creatives in your community that need to just be creative. Go do your amazing creative thing. But here, once you've had your amazing creative ideas, here's the handbook, and this will help you to that next step. And I, you know, I wish that I'd met you 5 years ago, Nadine, because we need more people like you in our lives.
I like that. Thank you. What a compliment. I also wish I'd met you 5 years ago just for knowing you, really. Yeah, I think, look, I have a lot of ideas too, but you need to know your strength, right? And my strength so far seems to be in structure, right? And in marketing and in business and advising. And I've loved the journey I've been on in the last year where I've been working with accelerators and just looking at vast volumes of startup businesses. I've gone from vast volumes of corporate businesses to vast volumes of startup businesses. And there are some things that are the same and some things that are different, but I believe when you have that experience, you should try and share it as much as you can. And even you being a creative, you inspire me to be creative in the way I do things too. So we can learn a lot from each other, but the key is collaboration, because then you can do what you do brilliant and I can do what I do brilliant. And then we have more freedom and time and resources to do whatever we want after.
Totally. Keep being more you. Just keep being more you. That's all it. And share. Like, there's a gap in your knowledge. Let me step in, and vice versa. That is exactly what it has to be all about. Nadine, we're talking now in the run-up to International Women's Day. You are clearly an incredibly inspirational woman in just about every walk and facet of life. Is there anyone who inspires you when it comes to running your own business or just in the way that you approach life?
There's been a couple of inspirational people. And it's funny you mentioned through adversity, actually. Now, this question comes up as an icebreaker, right? Have you ever been to something and everyone's like, so who inspires you? And you do that icebreaker question. You know what I started noticing? All the people that were on the inspiration list were men. My inspiration, and it will surprise you, is Viola Davis. And do you know Viola?
No, I don't. How was
it? How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes, I do know the series. Yes, I do. And right. I wasn't expecting that answer.
Okay. So she played Annalee Keating. So which is the lead person, but not only that, she's been in a ton of different stuff. Like, I'll tell you a couple of things that she's been in just to help. Right. So she's been in The Woman King, an amazing movie about an African warrior. She's been in The Help. I think everybody knows that movie as well. But loads and loads of different movies, Widows, Kung Fu Panda, Air. The thing I like about Viola Davis and why she inspires me is she's not who you expect to see. And she's incredible, and an incredible actor. I mean, at the top of her game. And when you hear her speak, she speaks with humility. You can tell that she's dedicated her time to her craft. And there's no way you can deny her. She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. But when you think about who mainstream want to see on their screens, age-wise, look-wise, gender-wise, heritage-wise, you probably wouldn't put her there. So that means that she's done an incredible job to get there, okay? And that's why I love her so much. And everything I see her in, she picks choice roles. She doesn't go for every role. She picks great roles where she can stretch and she can be different. And her shows become cult classics. And they can't sort of work without her. I couldn't imagine anyone else doing it. And she creates moments. And so when I look at someone like that, I feel like that's my space as well. You know, I'm in rooms where there isn't anyone like me or looks like me. I know I've had to work so hard just to even get to my position, to be able to talk with confidence and to be confident and to know what I'm doing, even though I thought I knew what I was doing already. But you have to know within yourself, right, what you're doing in order to make you feel like you're there. So, yeah, she inspires me.
I love that answer, Nadine, and I can see why you've chosen her, because she clearly has broken so many boundaries and challenged so many stereotypes in so many ways. And she's out there and she's still doing that. And she's still walking her walk, isn't she, each and every day, and doing it so well, not despite of, but because of, you know, yes. And just does it so incredible, which is you all over, Nadine. You're just doing an incredible job.
Thank you.
I have absolutely adored spending time talking to you, sharing this journey with you, Nadine. If anybody wants to get involved with your work or find out more support, you know, the ACE group, the ACE Fest, what can they do?
You can go to aceentrepreneurs.com, normal spelling. You can find me on LinkedIn, Nadine Campbell. I've got a red jumper dress on in the picture. And that's it. Just get in touch in any way you can. I love to connect with people. Feel free to send me a connection request with a note. I will definitely reply to you as soon as I can. But I think the main thing is, in your life, just try to do something that makes people feel inclusive, number one, and to think about how others feel about belonging. And then if you like to join us on that journey and become part of a wider group that are doing that, of which I would love to happen, please reach out. And there's always opportunities. I love collaboration. It's the heart of everything I do, you know. And I love, Faye, that you and I won the award together on the night, because yes. It's just so apt. It's just so apt, isn't it?
You're so right. And I hadn't even thought about that. We both won the community, you know, not the COVID sexy story, but we were both representing communities. Exactly. And that somehow it was the first time they gave out a joint award. And somehow that feels even more fitting for the pair of us and where we're at. Yeah, it's just brilliant.
I want to say something, Faye, before you
please
go.
Please do.
Because 10 years is no mean feat. And I'm really sure that over those 10 years, you've been like, I could be doing something else. This is hard. But what's happened is you've decided to dedicate yourself to women in different areas that aren't necessarily the capital cities of everything, but there are women still out there that want to connect. They are mums, they are doing brilliantly. When I came and I spoke at your event, the women were wonderful and warm and special and brilliant. And you know, you brought them together and you've galvanized them to get even better and to share their stories and to inspire more people. So please, I want to give you your flowers and say massively well done. Oh. You are excellent. I couldn't wish for anyone else to share my award with, and I'm going to see you this year again.
Lush. Oh, Nadine, you're so lovely. You're so lovely. I sometimes think I'm a data head's nightmare, because if anyone says, you know, where do you want to grow your next business or your next hub? I'm like, wherever it's needed. Yes. It's not about going to the city with the biggest demographic. It's about if someone comes up to me and says, look, I live in a village here and I need a community. I'm like, right, okay, let's help you. So I'm not about the density. If you need me, we'll go there. Let's do it together. I'll hold your hand. We'll walk this journey.
Well done.
Well done, you too. It's been amazing, Nadine. I feel as I could do anything now. I really do. Thanks for sharing this International Women's Day podcast with me and walking this walk, and can't wait to catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, Faye.
Thanks for joining us on the Freelance Mum podcast. I'm Faye Dicker, and don't forget, you can make a date with us every Wednesday on the Freelance Mum online coffee morning or at a local net talk near you. Come and try us out for free for 30 days at freelancemum.co.uk.